hundreds of health insurers have joined a lawsuit against the federal government over reduced and delayed reimbursements from the Affordable Care Act.
Wisconsin-based Common Ground Healthcare is the lead plaintiff in a lawsuit which seeks billions of dollars in back pay from the government. And it's the latest in a series of lawsuits brought against the government and the ACA since it became law 8 years ago.
Our next guest is here to break down this lawsuit, how it fits into the scope of legal challenges against the ACA, and the potential long-term impact the suit could have on the healthcare industry and the law.
Guy Bolton covers health policy and the business of healthcare for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Guy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So first, since the Affordable Care Act became law, it certainly ended up in the courts a lot. About how many lawsuits and what type have challenged it in the past?
There have been numerous legal challenges. This has now gone on for 8 years. And as you know, two of these challenges made their way to the Supreme Court. And there are now at least two lawsuits, you know, one dealing with the insurers and another dealing with states, including Wisconsin, that have sued in Texas to overturn the law that could very well make their way to the Supreme Court.
So Wisconsin is playing a role in both of these current lawsuits, the one being brought by insurers. How does that fit into the scope of the other types of lawsuits that have been brought against the ACA?
Numerous lawsuits have been filed by insurers. What we wrote about this week, you know, focused on really just one of the claims or one of the lawsuits by insurers. We did the story in part because Common Ground Healthcare Cooperative is based here in Wisconsin. They are the lead plaintiff in one of the lawsuits. But again, numerous insurers have filed similar lawsuits contending or alleging that the government reneged on promises that they made when they entered the market in 2014.
Well, and let's dig into this lawsuit in particular, because they are saying that they were promised certain payments under the ACA that they have not received. What were they supposed to receive this money from the federal government for doing?
What this lawsuit and similar lawsuits that have been filed by other insurers contend is when the law was passed in 2010, it included three provisions to help insurers through the rocky first years of the Affordable Care Act, of setting up these marketplaces that were going to completely remake how insurance was sold to individuals and families who do not get health benefits through an employer or through a government program such as Medicare. Now, this is a market that is a very small piece of the overall market. That's often forgotten. That's often overlooked. Most people, more than 150,000 people, get insurance through an employer. But it was also a market that was widely criticized. A lot of health policy folks, a lot of economists contended that it was essentially a dysfunctional market. What the ACA did, or the Affordable Care Act did, is it would bar insurers from not selling insurance to people with pre-existing health conditions, or putting a rider on the policy where, for instance, you had an eye injury or bad eye, and they would say, okay, well, we'll insure you, but we're not going to cover anything with your eyes. Or they would charge people with pre-existing health conditions much more. It also had a number of other requirements that were imposed on insurers, such as not allowing insurers to charge women more than men. So this was all going to be essentially a new market for insurers.
Right. They and in really reading your piece, Guy, you talked about how because this was a new type of insurance that they were offering, that they are different qualifications or lack of qualifications on the insurance, they really didn't know how much to charge because this was all new for them.
Exactly. It was guesswork in the early years. So there were these three provisions in the law, two of them temporary, one of them permanent, to help insurers get through those initial years until they had some claims data and would have a better sense of how to price their product. This nothing radical in this. When Medicare Part D, the prescription drug benefit, was introduced, there was a similar provision, just because, again, people really would not know how to price their product. One of these provisions was called the so-called risk corridor program, And insurers began selling policies in January 1st of 2014. Mm-hmm. In December of 2014, Congress put in this rider that said that this program had to be budget neutral, that the federal government couldn't use other funds, such as funds from the Medicare trust funds or the Medicare program, to offset any of these losses that insurers incurred. And that, you know, after they folks have been selling policies for, you know, 11, 12 months, they changed the rules.
Well, and also,
that's what these folks allege.
It also sounded like in your article, Guy, that it was, there was supposed to be some offsetting from the beginning, I believe, where if insurers were losing money because they weren't able to price it accurately, the federal government would give these kickbacks. But then also, if insurers were actually making more money than was expected, they were supposed to kind of pay back a little bit. Is that right?
Yes, you're right. And that's a good point, although that turned out not to be a problem.
Guy Bolton covers health policy and the business of healthcare for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking about a lawsuit that involves Wisconsin insurers and others that says that the federal government owes them billions of dollars under the Affordable Care Act. And so these companies are suing for billions of dollars. It's billions with a B. Let's break down a little where those costs are coming from. What is costing the industry so much money that they expected to get reimbursed on from the federal government and are not?
Well, the money in the first year and subsequent years, they priced, they did not count on this money. And that was one of the reasons that premiums have gone up. And this is just one of the reasons why the individual market is essentially a mess, particularly for people who do not receive federal subsidies. Folks who receive federal subsidies have been protected because the subsidies cap how much they have to pay for insurance to a percent of their income. In some ways, the market has been turned on its head. Before the ACA, a small segment of middle-class folks could afford to buy individual insurance, you know, such as people who are self-employed. People with lower incomes, people in low-wage jobs that didn't provide health benefits could not afford it. Now, those folks can have access to insurance. It's the middle-class folks who have been hurt. And there have been numerous factors that have come into play here. This is really just one of them. And the real effect was just, you know, after 2014, because, again, insurers in subsequent years, you know, when they were pricing their product, didn't count on that money. And so they put a higher price on the insurance they were selling.
As we wrap up, Guy, it sounds like there is a trickle-down effect for other people who have health insurance, but not necessarily the people who whose coverage has cost these particular insurers money. What are you going to be watching for as this moves forward for what it means for the cost of health care?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, this is just one of many things that have gone into this market not working out as projected. Some of the problems in the market stem from the law's original design. The Obama administration also made a decision regarding so-called transitional plans. This was after the controversy regarding whether you could keep your own plan or not. All these things in their entirety have affected the market. And again, you know, some of these could be fixed. But of course, as you know, this is such a politicized issue that folks are not really interested in sitting down and saying, okay, how do we fix the mistakes we made? How do we make this work better? But we hope to do a story or plan to do a story this fall that will list all the different decisions that were made that got us to this point. And again, some of them stem from the plan's original design. I mean, the people who signed up for insurance, as we've reported in numerous stories, you know, overall turned out to be sicker and have higher health care costs than expected, and not enough young, healthy people, in part because some of the original flaws in the law's design, have signed up for insurance. And that what you need is a big risk pool that has a mix of healthy and unhealthy people. Ideally, you want a heck of a lot more healthy people than unhealthy ones.
Well, Guy, thank you so much for explaining this lawsuit, and we'll certainly watch how this and the others progress.
Thank you.
Guy Bolton covers health policy and the business of healthcare for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us today to talk about a lawsuit filed against the federal government over reduced and delayed reimbursements from the Affordable Care Act.